Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Today, we're exploring how life has changed over the past few decades with the impact of globalization, technology, and new cultural trends. We'll also look at Ayatollah Khamenei's guidance on the Islamic Iranian lifestyle and what it means for us individually, for our families and societies. Let's dive into this important conversation together. Welcome, dear brothers and sisters, to your program, The Viewpoint from IRIB English Radio. This is Sayed Ali, the host, and I'm here to talk with my two great brothers, Brother Ali. Assalamu alaikum, dear brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, dear brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Really good to have you here, both
it's
of you.
It's a pleasure.
Despite challenges, there have been some, you know, successful achievement we have, at least in our country. Can you mention any areas where Iranian society has been successful in preserving its cultural and religious identity? Give us some of the good points that we can, you know, use that experience to expand that successful cases.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Well, as we have been discussing in our previous session, the challenges that we are facing due to the development role models or progress role models that we have now in the world, and we are after introducing a role model based on Islamic principles, which has been strengthened by the leader of the Islamic Ummah, Ayatollah Khamenei. So we have been talking that the foundation of the family and the structure of family has been has been at risk. So we have seen that couples are obliged and forced to work, both of them, and they have less contacts. Again, we have, their kids are either at the schools or even from nursery, they attend the schools till the time that they are in universities. From the other side, we see parents, both of them are working, so they have less time to actually be with each other. So this is at least one of the challenges that we have been talking about. The foundation of the family, which is at risk. So what is our option? I mean, what is the model that we are talking about? What are the benefits, or what are the achievements of the new model that we are talking about? So we have put our finger on something which actually is going on a point that is going to bring them again together. One of these points is to work on the basis and principles of family, and to define the works, to define the duties of every member of the family. I mean, what Islam is principally asking the wife to be doing at home and the man as the head of the family. And in case we are going to actually provide the schooling or the education of students, we have to think of centers or educational centers or educational centers or training centers in the vicinity of the family. So this is what actually apparently can work. But again, working on the spirituality of morality and spirituality elements, which strengthens these relations inside the family.
But it's really difficult to bring family together these days, like, let's be honest, because right now father, like, time is really limited, right? Father should work and comes home very late. Mother is working in some cases. How can you find any space?
As you said, so the quality time? we need to redefine the duties of members of the family. Mm-hmm. So we need to redefine the duties of family members. And the things, weak points that has been targeted by the opposing culture, that is morality and spirituality. We have different times in our lives that we can make critical decisions to save our lives, like what we call it, the nights of Qadr. What is the night of destiny or the night of Qadr? Is the most important night in a year that all the destiny of people are being actually devised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all the rizq and sustenance of people are being given to them. So again, we have some Qadr or some important, some power periods in our lives that we can make critical decisions mm-hmm. in order to what to do. I mean, what is our duty in the family? I mean, what is the duty of my wife in the family? What is the duty for my child? I mean, as for education, giving them a good and, let's say, a desired model for the education. And in case we are going to actually collect them together, we need to think of the centers that they need to attend for their studies. I mean, in case we are that open to send, for example, my daughter to, I mean, farthest provinces for studying. So, I mean, we have to accept, I mean, the consequences that it might have.
Yeah.
So we need to actually reschedule, redesign or redefine the duties of family members.
Sure.
This is one that we are talking about. But since these ideas or these solutions might at first look, seem to be very strange and weird, so we need to slowly and gradually work and adapt with that.
Thank you so much. Dear brother Muhammad, the leader Ayatollah Khamenei says that we should not just resist bad influences like of Western culture, but also build alternatives. What kind of positive examples or models should be created to inspire, you know, society these days?
You see, let's look at what the leader himself is referring to when he talks about bad models. First of all, I think the most influential areas with regards to role models in the world is probably sports and culture, and these events that take place around the world. For example, football. We have many kids, youths these days, who just by looking at a football player without knowing the lifestyle of that person, without knowing the ideology of that person, the worldview of that person, easily just because that person is from his or her favorite team, tries to adopt his way of life, tries to make his hairstyle like that one, tries to play the game like that football player,
put some tries tattoos.
Tries to put on clothes. So these are the things, these are the influences that we are importing. Now, I'm not implying that football players are bad influences. There are many football players who are also good influences as well. Mm-hmm. And they might have partially good and partially bad influences. I'm not making a decisive statement here. I'm just giving an example. So what I'm trying to imply is that those influences that we have taken in that are bad are supposed to be rethought by the authorities and the well-wishers of the society. And not only should we try to resist against these bad role models, but also prepare good role models within the country. Mm-hmm. And this is extremely important. Why? Because if you are saying not this, not this, not this, not this, then what? There must be an alternative.
So why, I don't understand why we should exclude like some celebrities, like soccer players or football players, as you said, and consider them as bad influences.
Because I did not make a decisive statement that these are bad influences. I'm saying that there are influences that come from these personalities that are in many cases bad as well.
So we have to deal with it. They've got the spotlight. They've got the stage. So either you have to stop all those, you know, sport competitions, or you should, I don't know, tolerate it somehow, because people are going to have different looks and appearances.
But having a spotlight does not remove that responsibility from you in trying to filter out the bad role models from the good role models. Now, Israel also has a spotlight. There are many other bad influences. You know, many of these actors, I don't want to name any at this point in time, but there are many actors who committed suicide that have become a role model now. Hmm. Now, should because they were in spotlight, should we promote them? No. Should we be silent when they are being promoted?
But if we have control over those people, if you can, you know, change them.
Of course, why not? That's basically Amr al-Ma'ruf Nahi al-Munkar. Whether it be internationally or nationally, we're not talking about that. We're talking about what we have in our power and what we have realistically in our hands and practically in our hands. Mm-hmm. Now, these players are not necessarily who we can strongly influence outside of, you know, Iran. But within Iran, we have many role models that we can give the spotlight. Unfortunately, in many cases, what happens, we do have the role models ready, but we don't give the spotlight. And I'll be very frank and to the point over here. Look at many of the scholars, the Islamic scholars. How much are they considered as role model by even the national television, as opposed to the many other movie celebrities and actors and actresses? Now this big difference in giving spotlight to people who are not necessarily thinkers and ideology makers, but they're just basically actors in a movie. Someone else directs that movie. Someone else writes the play. Someone else writes the dialogue. They just practice and execute.
Do we have the same thing in like Catholic life or Christian life that they're like, I don't know, nun or priest become role model on a television or something like that? Do you have the same?
You see, if you're talking about religious-based role models, now Christians may have, but again, generally after the Industrial Revolution, religion has seen the greatest oppression through after that revolution and that change in the entire world, and this has affected everywhere, not only the Western world but also the Islamic countries, and so therefore they have lost the spotlight. But being in the Islamic Republic of Iran, where the authorities are supposed to be and should be striving and trying their best to make sure the role models of the youths are going to adopt and they're going to see them as people of conduct, as people of personality and character, are those with, as Brother Ali mentioned in I believe in the previous episode, with faith, with justice, and knowledge. These three characteristics are upheld by these role models. If not, then we don't have any personal affiliation with anyone. It should be very clear cut that, look, if you're a movie actor, if you're a social media influencer, you're at your own little circle and not beyond that. You are a marketer, not beyond that. But if you are becoming an influencer in the society, whereby the youths generally, whether it be in your control or outside of your control, are going to adopt you as a role model, we need to make sure that you classify and you qualify as a proper role model to be adopted by the youths.
Thank you so much. Dear Brother Ali, do you agree that we have to somehow tolerate youth more than before? Because, we live in, like all of us, like in Muslim countries, we live in countries that somehow we have this, conservative culture or government that we don't appreciate change rapidly somehow. Even if we want to have some good changes, right? Change like bad habits or whatever. So when young people want to, propose, suggest something, some new way, some new plans, they, like, let's be honest, they just been shut down by people. They would say, oh, you're young, you haven't got any experience. So is it really realistic to believe that young people are the pioneers of bringing change to societies?
Well, even we have it in the words of the grand Ayatollah, the grand leader Ayatollah Khamenei, that he says that we have to invest on our youngsters. So, to my own understanding, the youth right has been violated due to many factors. I can count some of these factors that their rights have been violated, and we need to give them their right back and let them breathe. Why? Because a change or a transfer in the education and training of the youth from the center of the family to far away, let's say, educational centers. Because earlier, a part of the education and training has been given by a family. Mm-hmm. For example, at least for the first 7 years, mothers or the family were involved in the education of their kids. Now, even from early ages, they are sent to, preschools and, let's say, nursery schools and so on and so forth. So we see that, the time that they needed to be with the parents, to be with the family, so their rights have been taken and violated.
So are you suggesting homeschooling?
No. I'm not suggesting homeschooling. The school is necessary to some extent, yeah. But we are after having this time to be with the family more than today, more than what we are actually experiencing today. At least for the first 7 years or less, first 6 years, they need to be more with the parents and the mothers rather than, with the educational and training centers. But due to the expediencies, due to the, the obligations that parents have.
But the Prophet himself were sent to another, city or village.
Well,
he was young.
I think
if you can consider
definitely him no. Look, the circumstances of the Holy Prophet was quite different. Why? Because the life of the Holy Prophet was in danger due to the dangers that were there. So, all in all, I want to say that yes, if we are going to form this desired and this utopia with this Islamic civilization, we need to invest in our youth. So, because as we said, now due to the violated rights of the youth, like for example, what made them to stay single for ages?
Yeah.
I mean, up to, let's say today, up to 30 or 30 or even 40 years, they're still, and they prefer to stay single rather than to get married.
They cannot afford getting married, I guess.
So what are they? I mean, the economic pressures and other, let's say, psychological or family pressures, or being distant with the family members.
Or they want to have boyfriend.
Or lack of this feelings, or let's say useful family feelings that actually the person is lacking. So we see that the consequences are being seen somewhere else. So we need to get back to this important and precious treasury and to invest on them. So when we see that, even when, a couple get married, they are less interested to have more kids.
Yeah.
So what is the reason? Because still this, I can call it,
mentality.
I don't know if it is good to be used or not, this sort of complex that has been put on them from before marriage. So it is showing itself there. So we want to say that we need a healthy youth environment and to invest on them and give them the right, because if we are waiting for good ideas and thoughts and good and innovations and creativity to come up, we have to just expect it from this generation.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. That will be all. Today's discussion reminds us that while challenges are real, the greater task before us is to build our own model of life, one that draws the strength from our faith, our families, our youth, and our rich culture. This is not just an option. It is essential for shaping our future. Thank you, all of you, for listening to this conversation. Till another episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.